Calvary, I love you. It's good to see you this morning. Glad you're here today. I'm going to speak on reflecting and making known what God has done. We're going to reflect and make known what God has done in our midst. Before I do that, I just want to say what Margaret said. Thank you so much for your participation in our servant evangelism effort over at Walmart. Wrapped a lot of gifts. We prayed for a number of people. We ministered to a lot of different people. Thank you for sharing the unconditional love of God. Our servant evangelism projects are about changing the spiritual atmosphere in our community and letting people see that our God is a giver. The church is a giver, not just a taker. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your participation there. And also, I want to remind our guests, if this is your first time with us, at the end of the service, be sure to stop by our Welcome Center. We have a gift for you. We want to send you with that blessing today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 145. This morning, I want to reflect on what God has been doing, is doing, and will do, what He's going to do in us as a congregation. I want us to share His wonderful acts and make known what He has done. Father, as we spend time in Your Word this morning, we ask You to speak to us. And as we recount what You have done and what You are doing and what You're going to do, Father, I pray for an impartation of faith. Father, I pray that You will catch us up with a vision. And Lord, You'll help us to see what You're doing that we might bless You and we might cooperate with You better. Father, we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 145, 1. I will extol You, O my God and King, and bless Your name forever. Every day I will bless You and praise Your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend Your works to another. They shall declare Your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of Your majesty and on Your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of Your awesome deeds, and I will declare Your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of Your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of Your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all and has mercy over all that He has made. All Your works shall give thanks to You, O Lord, and all Your saints shall bless You. They shall speak of the glory of Your kingdom, and they will tell of Your power to make known to the children of man Your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of Your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Your dominion endures throughout all the generations. The Lord is faithful to all His words and kind in all His works. Verse 4 says, one generation shall commend Your works to another and declare Your mighty acts. And then the psalmist says, and I'm going to meditate on that. Then verse 12 says, we want to make known to the children, we want to make known to the generation Your mighty deeds. That's what we want to do today. We want to make known what the Lord has done and to tell of His mighty acts. The discipline of reflection is actually an important spiritual practice. Reflection is taking time for serious consideration, contemplation, deliberation, pondering, meditation, or musing. And reflection is a spiritual practice that helps you grow in your capacity to be aware and to pay attention. And it's fuel for your prayer life. Reflecting helps me to process, to learn, and to discover. John Maxwell says that reflective thinking turns experience into insight. Another author, David Benner, says the spiritual life starts with awareness. Limited awareness equates to a shallow spiritual life. No one can ever be more aware of the self's transcendent than they are aware of things going on within them and around them. The spiritual journey starts, therefore, with awakening and with being prepared to awake again and again as we realize that once again we have drifted into sleep. So reflection is actually a spiritual practice for my life that I have found incredibly transformative. I do that in a number of different ways. I do that through journaling. I do that through conversations. I do that through prayer. I do that through paying attention to the Lord. There's many different ways that you can reflect. But what we want to do this morning is reflect again on what God has been doing, is doing, and what He is going to do in us in the congregation. And I'm going to organize my thoughts around four words this morning: celebrating, confirmations, challenges, and calling. So celebrating, confirmation, challenges, and calling. First of all, celebrating, giving thanks to the Lord for what he has been doing, he is doing, and he's going to do. Expectant faith. We began this year with a word. We felt like the word for us for this year was expectation. God was speaking to us to have an expectant faith. And expectant faith is anticipatory. It's confidence in God. And our expectation is first an expression of faith in God. The Lord whom we seek has the power to create something out of nothing. And so he speaks and he keeps his word. But there's another part of anticipation or expectation, and that involves our faithfulness to God. Expectation carries with it an awareness of our responsibility to respond to what the Lord is doing and to partner with him. So we have an expectation in God and what he's doing, an expectation that we are to partner with him. He has chosen to work with us. So we have expectant faith. This year, the Lord has caused our faith to grow and not to fail. He has brought us this far, and he will not abandon us. He will finish what he started in us as a people. That's God's testimony to us through all these years. And I have grown in my faith. I've been challenged in the area of expectation this year. How about you? I bet you have been. God's trying to stretch us. Amen. Then financial provision. The Lord has provided miraculously, as I shared during the presentation earlier. And again, you have given faithfully and generously all year long. And I want to say thank you for your sacrificial and extravagant giving. For giving as the Lord has led you, both the giving of your tithes and over and above that. In tithes and offerings, we heard testimony of missions from Joseph and others that were helping locally and globally. Again, at our current pace of giving, we're going to end the year with the cash balance that we need to do what we need next year and to position us for 2020. So I am grateful. I'm also grateful that the Lord continues to raise up partners with us at Calvary from across the nation. It's not just here, but we have people that sow into us, not only through missions and other ministries, but they also give to Calvary to help us to be strong and healthy. I mentioned to you in August, out of the clear blue, a friend just called and said, I'm going to send a gift. And they gave actually gave $30,000 to sow into us. They'd heard from the Lord to give. God is providing and moving, and Calvary, we can be grateful in this hour for what he's doing. Regarding the Myanmar mission trip, you know, we're raising funds for that trip, $14,000 for the two conferences that we do. And in addition, there's the part that the team members are raising, $3,500 each for the trip. And the conferences, we have to provide everything for these pastors and leaders and believers that we minister to because of the incredible poverty in Myanmar. So our goal is to raise $14,000 for the two conferences, and we've already raised $7,000 of that. So thank you again, Calvary. And by the way, that $7,000 came from outside of us. And so you're giving to help our missionaries and help our team. I want to remind you to pray about giving toward that need also. So we thank the Lord for his financial provision, his miracle provision in 2018. And as we close this year, I want to just challenge you again. Let's finish strong. Let's continue to give. Let's continue to hear the voice of the Lord. Let's continue to sow into what God is speaking to us about in the area of finances. And then support and encouragement. I just want to say a word of thank you, Calvary, for me personally. I have felt your support. I have felt your encouragement. I have felt your friendship, and I felt your prayers all years long. Thank you for standing with me. Thank you for supporting me and Tammy and our family. Thank you. It has meant a lot to me. I am so, so grateful, and you have loved me very well. And I just want to say thank you from my heart. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Then encounters. God is positioning us. We believe that God is positioning us for encounters with him, some new things that he wants to do in our lives as a church. As a matter of fact, in this discipline of reflection, I wrote down some things that happened to me the week of November the 12th. And as I was reflecting back on that week, I just was amazed at what the Lord had done in me. Then I was hearing testimonies of what the Lord was doing in others of you. And I felt like that this was kind of the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of something that God wants to do in all of us. I believe that God is calling us into a season of encounter with Him. We're actually going to be ministering that, Pastor Steve. We're going to get in on that prophetic word that he had been given, the more of God. And in January, we're going to be launching some activities to position us to encounter and experience more of what God has for us. But as I recorded some things that week, it built my faith as I reflected in my journal, and I wanted to share these briefly with you. First of all, in the prayer room, we meet obviously on Monday nights in the prayer room. There's a corporate time on November the 12th. Jay Kelly had an encounter with the Lord where he was in the generation set, and it was November, but he was experiencing the first prayer meeting of January of 2019. And he was experiencing that time. And as he did, he got a revelation about Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. And then from that passage, the Lord gave him a prophetic word for us for 2019. It says, "We prophesy 2019, the year of a double restoration of all that God has done and all that God has promised in Jesus' name. This is the word of grace." Now, that was powerful because I've been asking the Lord, what do you want to say about 2019? And I was just asking him that question. Then I come into our prayer time, and then Jay begins to share this encounter, and that really buoyed my spirit. I was just really encouraged by what the Lord said. Then on Tuesday evening in our journey group, as you know, our church is built around small groups. We get together and we share our lives. We got into sharing and reflecting around the sermon, and at the end, people were commenting. Everybody just kind of sat there talking about the openness, the honesty, the impact. You could just feel the Lord ministering. And together, we realized we had met with the Lord. We had a night of encounter with sharing our lives together. So that was Tuesday night. Then on Wednesday, before the Equipping the Saints class that I did on spiritual warfare, Tammy and I ran to a local restaurant to grab a bite to eat. And while we were there, we asked the waitress, we asked her if there was anything that we could pray with her about. We were going to bless our food and wanted to pray. And she said, "Yes, there is something I need prayer from my back." And she was a young adult. I'm not good with ages, probably about 21. She said, "I have a slipped disc." And she said, "And I need financial help. I'm trying to move out from my parents and finish my degree. And so I would love prayer." Then right there in the restaurant, she knelt down at our table, held out her hands like this, and said, "Please pray." And so my faith went up. Does that make sense? I was super encouraged by that. So we prayed for her and asked God to touch her. Then when I got to my class that night, we were going to be looking, that particular lesson was going to be looking on some of the weapons of our warfare, and then we were going to consider some of the enemy's weapons. And y'all know I do a lot of notes. My notes are online, by the way, for the sermon today, because we're going to go quickly, so you can find those there. But I had a plan to cover a lot of stuff. But as we're sharing and talking together, people began to cry in my class. Now, they weren't crying because of the teaching. It was so poor. They were crying because the Holy Spirit was touching them, and questions, and people were asking, and the Lord was just there ministering to us. So finally, we just had to stop the class and start praying for what the Lord was doing, because He was encountering us and touching us. And so God was very, very merciful to us on that Wednesday night. Then the next Saturday, just a few days later, is our ministry team training. We still continue to help people to learn about the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, learning how to walk with Jesus and do the works that Jesus wants us to do, the works that He is doing. And I was amazed at the teaching and the ministry time. The testimonies from people were they had power encounters with the Lord in that time. I know Stephen Burke and I prayed together at ministry time. Thank you to all you who come up and help us to pray on ministry team training days. And there were some guests that were there. As you know, 95% of the people that come to ministry team training are outside of Calvary, because many of you have been through it. And there were some people that he and I prayed for that they just talked about my life's been changed. It just something, and that not because of us, but you could see the Lord touching and moving. It was a day of encounter with the Lord. Then on Sunday, as I was praying for our service, I felt like the Lord said he was going to come with anointing and power. So during the service, I felt like he released a commissioning for us into his harvest fields. I felt like he released a fresh power and impartation for what we're supposed to be doing. We shared words of knowledge and people responded. And then Angela Petrie was here. As you know, she serves as a pastor up with the International House of Prayer at Kansas City. She had brought a friend with her to the service. And after the service, she was just commenting, "Wow, do you realize the power of God's Spirit was here? I just want to acknowledge God's presence." Well, there was another encounter, another confirmation from the Lord. Then on Monday, Pastor Steve has a pastor's mentorship. And that was the first Sunday he'd asked us to pray about the new open door that God had opened with the police department. And so that day there was a huge turnout in Freshwater. I had another commitment because the day had been moved. And so I was helping to set up the video and get some things ready. We try to record that for one day when we edit that and make it available. And to set the stage, this lady came up to me and said, "Do you remember me?" And she had been at Calvary in the early 90s. And I said, "I sure do. As a matter of fact, I just thought about her husband just a couple of days before, and I was wondering how he was doing." And so she came up to me. She's a chaplain in the Police and Clergy Alliance. And she said to me, this is what she said. She said, "I just wanted to thank you for the conversation that you had with my husband years ago. And I just thought about this guy in that conversation." And she said, "He is still a changed man living for the Lord." I'll never forget. He's about 6'4", and he's one of the biggest guys that I've ever prayed for. And he was in my office, and he was just, he's built, man. He is built and just rock solid. And his heart was like that. It was just kind of just really strong. And as I was praying for him, the Holy Spirit just came and he gave his life to Jesus. Well, a couple of days earlier, I'm thinking about this guy. And then the Lord gives this testimony to this person. There's 4 or 5 encounters. Then the next week, I had an amazing encounter, the same kind of thing where the Lord showed up. I'd been thinking about a person. I don't have time to go into the master strategist, and it pulls together 30 years of weaving the story together. But I just want to tell you, God is positioning us and getting us ready for deeper encounters with him as a congregation. I'm just sharing those. That's not just happening to me. That's happening in our body, and it's the beginning of the beginning of the beginning. And those things do happen, but not as, you know, it's all compacted in a week. And as I was reflecting on it, I said, "Lord, what does this mean?" And I felt like he said, "This is what I'm getting ready to do here at Calvary in a greater measure. It wasn't about me. It's about what he wants to do in and through our lives." So I am encouraged by your testimonies. I'm encouraged by what the Lord is doing, and my faith is growing. Then direction. God is speaking to us about 2019, and we're seeking to align with what he is saying. We're seeking to live into what it means to be an apostolic church and a prophetic church. The Lord is currently moving in our culture today to restore and to mature the apostolic and prophetic leadership and ministry in his church. We want to respond to what the Lord is saying by holding 2 conferences next year, one in March the 29th through the 31st. Apostle Mosi Madaba is going to be here and minister on the apostolic. And in the fall, we're going to have a prophetic conference. And Pastor Steve is organizing this and leading this. We're going to be working with him. And we're going to have a prophetic conference in the fall where we're going to sow into what the Lord is doing. So the Lord is speaking and moving for 2019, and we're trying to position ourselves to what he's doing. We'll be sharing more with you about these conferences that are coming up. But we're seeking to align with the Lord to respond, especially to what he's saying about the More of God, that message series that Pastor Steve preached on at the end of 2017, then a couple of times in 2018. Now, here is another direction. Here's another change that we're making to align with what the Lord is saying. Beginning on January the 6th, the first Sunday in the new year, we're going to begin to meet in the prayer room for our 10 o'clock Sunday morning worship services. So starting on January the 6th, we're not going to be meeting in here. We're going to meet in the prayer room, and we're going to meet there for our Sunday morning worship services. We believe that the Lord wants to bring the coals of our lives together. He wants to bring us into a more intimate setting. As with fire, when you bring coals together, the heat gets hotter and the fire increases. We believe that gathering in the prayer room for our worship service will create more energy and synergy and connectivity. We believe that meeting in the prayer room will give us a chance to connect with the Lord and with each other more deeply. So we're going to meet in here the next 2 weeks on the 23rd and the 30th. And starting in January 2019, we're going to meet in the prayer room for our worship services. And so I want you to be aware of that. Then impact and influence, thinking about, again, just looking at the confirmations, just looking at what the Lord is doing to celebrate. We want to celebrate our God. I just praise the Lord for what we're doing to make a difference with Him, to impact and influence in our spheres of influence. We have missionaries that the Lord has identified, raised up, and who have gone out intentionally from our midst through the years, both locally and globally. And just right now, as I've shared with you in a recent sermon, just right now in this season, Eric and Wendy Eldridge from our midst are working with Beyond Ministries. Joseph Jordana, Youth with a Mission in London. Anna is working among the refugees in Europe. Chase and Megan are working among refugees in restricted access countries. Daniel and Marlene De Jesus right now are in the Philippines. Not only do they minister locally in the prison ministry, but they're there. They help us to minister in the prisons, and they're ministering in the Philippines right now. Angela Petrie and Olivia Buckles and many others are serving with the International House of Prayer up in Kansas City. Jean and Renee Hobb are missionaries with Family Life Ministries. Kathy Vosberg Miller, the Lord's used her to start Crosswalk Center and has brought together government agencies and resources and people and churches. It's Houston's hopeful reentry hub for those coming out of being incarcerated. We have our Hair Grove partnership. We have prison ministry team that's still active. We have missions teams going to Latvia and Myanmar on a regular basis. And that's just some of the missionaries. We have more things going on than that. And then we have ministries that we partner with where we multiply our energy and synergy and our influence together. CareNet Pregnancy Assistance Ministries that helps people to make the right decisions as they're facing pregnancy. And it's a tremendous ministry. Crosswalk Center, I've mentioned that. Psy Hope, where we're ministering together with a backpack program, helping in our schools. Faith Walking, that's a discipleship program. It's an emphasis on spiritual transformation that is God's using it, not only in this nation, but now in other nations. Hope Disaster Recovery. We still have 100,000 people impacted. Their homes are still in terrible situation from Hurricane Harvey. There's a lot of work still to be done. India Gospel Reach in India. Oh, by the way, did you know that India in a couple of years is going to surpass China as the most populous nation on the planet? That's amazing, isn't it? And we have the partnership with Vals and Abraham there. Then Somebody Cares, Doug Stringer, the premier, I believe, compassion and evangelism and disaster relief ministry in the world. So we celebrate what we're doing, the impact and the influence that we're having locally and globally. And then I receive stories from people near and far about the impact that you're having on their lives as we have partnered together through the years and as we have seen God work. God has used us to introduce people to the kingdom of God, to the power of the Holy Spirit, to intimacy with the Lord, to the prophetic, to prayer, to community transformation, and so many things that we have had the chance to do. And then think about this. We have more than 100 people whose lives are being impacted on our Wednesday nights through our kids' church, through our youth group, through our equipping programs. That's an amazing thing. And a lot of, especially the kids and youth, aren't members of Calvary, and we're getting to touch and impact their lives. More than 100 people involved on Wednesday nights here, and we're growing in our capacity to express love. I really celebrate, Calvary, the way that you care for one another, the way that you support one another, the way that you pastor one another, encourage one another, and bear one another's burdens. Ministry takes place among you and circulates as the Spirit of Christ ministers, and it transforms lives. And I just say thank you for what you're doing as a body. And then in dealing with a year of transition, a year of change, I celebrate how we're going through this year and how we've been through a year of change and still kept our eyes on the Lord. And I just want to say thank you for choosing to stay connected in the midst of transition rather than separating, which is what happens a lot of times when people go through a change or a difficulty. I just want to celebrate that. Confirmations. I'm grateful for how the Lord continues to encourage us and to affirm and confirm what he's saying to us in this hour. We entered into a season of transition even before some other ministries around us did, but it's been encouraging now in this year to hear of other ministries that are experiencing a season of transition. I think about IHOP in Kansas City. I've mentioned them a couple of times. Right now, they're going through what they're calling a reset for their one thing for 2018, their annual conference. It'll be the last time they do an annual conference for a while because the Lord is getting them ready, they believe, for a season to take them deeper in the Lord. It's a season of major transition. Morningstar Ministries, Rick Joyner's ministry, I was reading just recently, is also looking at some of their season, and they're considering this a season of transition for some of the things that they are doing. It's just interesting that other ministries and churches are hearing the word reset during this season. So the Lord seems to be positioning his people strategically for encounter with himself, and he's preparing us for those encounters, for what lies ahead on the prophetic horizon. And then shifts. We're just getting confirmations, not only of transition, but of shifts that are happening. Again, there are ministries and there are leaders and churches going through a shift in this season. It's not just happening here at Calvary, but it's happening other places. And it's like we entered into that. You remember back in 2017, and we made a shift. And we want to get Pastor Steve into the calling and the anointing and the assignments that God has for him. And we want to get Calvary where God wants us to be. And so we're working on those two things together and did a major change and shift in 2017. And then we've restructured this year and made our reset in our staffing to fit into our budget. So lots of things are happening, but this is happening also in the body of Christ across the nation. But there are some challenges. In the midst of all that God is doing and all that he's going to do, we inevitably face challenges. And this is why I think the Lord has said to us over and over and over again from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The Lord keeps reminding us of that promise that he gave us. And here are some ways that we're praying into our challenges for the coming year. And I want you to be thinking about these ways of praying into the challenges. First of all, we're praying for double restitution. According to the passage that Jay got from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11 to 12, the scripture says, "As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. And even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you." Calvary, let us pray for this year to be a year of double restoration, that God will restore what has been lost, what God will restore, what he wants to restore to us in whatever means he wants to, in terms of provision, in terms of harvest, in terms of blessing, in terms of assignments, fruitfulness, whatever it is. Secondly, pray for the Lord to make the thief restore sevenfold what he has stolen from us. That's taken from the scripture in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30 to 31. Proverbs 6, verse 30 to 31. And the scripture says this. I'm going to read the Passion Translation. "You can almost excuse a thief if he steals to feed his own family, but if he's caught, he has to pay back what he has stolen sevenfold. His punishment and his fine will cost him greatly." So we're asking the Lord to make the enemy repay seven times what he has stolen, whatever he has stolen from us through the years. We're asking God for a breakthrough year in 2019 and that the Lord would restore to us, make the thief pay dearly. One of the things I pray is, God, make it so costly for the enemy's camp to mess with us that he won't mess with us anymore. We're also praying for the harvest to come in. We had a whole series on the harvest, Luke chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. And also we're praying for the bread that we've cast upon the water to come back to us according to God's word. In Ecclesiastes 11, 1, the scripture says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days you'll find it again." That was a prophetic word that Doug Stringer gave when he ministered here in September. Doug, as we were meeting together and we were at dinner together, he said, "The Lord is giving a word. It's time for Calvary to reap what we have done for the kingdom of God locally and globally. This is the season of reaping." And so I was really encouraged by that word from Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. And then we're praying for strength to fight and not to give up in this season. We're praying for strength to fight and not to give up. "Why do you say, O Jacob," this is from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God'? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or tired. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow weary and tired, and young men, they stumble and they fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint." So, according to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Amen? We're praying for wisdom and energy and grace to deal with the workload in our restructuring that's resulted. We're praying for that. We're praying for victory and overcoming anointing to possess our inheritance, to deal with the enemy and the adversary, to overcome and triumph in the Lord. And then we're praying in this season for encounters with God, especially for our children, our youth, and our young adults. We're praying into that. In the conference, when Apostle Mosey comes and ministers, we're going to be making that conference open on Friday night and Saturday to anyone in our community. But we're going to give an emphasis on Friday night for youth and young adults and youth workers. We want them to catch the fire of God through Apostle Mosey that night. And we're going to, Susan said, if you feed them, they will come. And so we're going to have a dinner and invite people, especially young people, young adults. All of us are welcome. But we're especially targeting them in that season. And then the final word is calling. Our calling from the Lord is sure. Our calling to possess our promised land, which to me is the promises, the plans, the prophetic words, and the purposes that God has for us is sure. That's why we did these placards. These placards take the prophetic sheet that we have that we pray into as a congregation. And these placards summarize those prophetic words, because it's a picture of what God has for us, our inheritance in Him, in the Holy Spirit. So that's, these words summarize that. And then our calling to impact the nations is sure. Our calling to have influence and impact is expanding in this hour. I mentioned that open door that Pastor Steve has with the police department and with the PACA. And then it's interesting, again, how the synergy and energy. I actually had the opportunity these past 2 years to serve on two ministry boards that are in major transition at the same time that we're in transition. It's just amazing how God puts stuff like that together. And then we have a calling to experience and encounter the Lord, His presence, and it's sure and it's definite. I know that I know that I know. Calvary, that's where we are. So today we wanted to reflect upon and make known what God is doing, what He has done, what He's going to do. And in closing, I want to say, let's take time in this Christmas season to reflect on and to celebrate what God has been doing, what He is doing, what He will do through us. Let's reflect on His wonderful acts and make known what He has done. I think we need to reflect on it and share the testimony of what he's doing. Let's be faithful again to finish the year well financially. May each of us bring our tithes and offerings, the whole tithe and the whole offering, into the storehouse and be good stewards of what God has put into our hands and in joyful obedience to what God is doing. And then I say, let us rise up and pray about the challenges that we're facing and will face as a church. Let's remember what the Lord has said to us over and over again from Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. Let's stand together.